Good morning. It's 8:38 Finger Lakes Morning News. Time to get healthy with Finger Lakes Health. That means Laura Turbide is here. Good morning.
Good morning, Tad.
How are you?
Very well. And I just want to say fantastic job at the Rotary Service Above Self Dinner.
Oh, thank you.
Natural, of course.
Thank you very much.
It was a wonderful night.
It was very nice, and it was nice to have so many people there that we all know and celebrate service above self. Before we talk about stroke awareness and stroke care and the signs, I know you have a little bit of news.
I do. I want to make sure people are thinking about getting ready to run. So it's that time of year. Weather's breaking a little bit. And we have the Get Ready to Run program, which is basically a way to help people get prepared to get out and to safely train and safely develop and get sort of back into sort of some kind of shape, whether you're a couch surfer in the winter or whether you've kept yourself going. Either way, we have something for you. So on Tuesdays in June, beginning June 6th, we're going to be offering our Get Ready to Run program. You can also be getting ready to walk. The goal is to really get people ready to train for a 5K. We hope that you'll be training for the Cubby Chase 5K, which is, of course, supports the Jim Dooley Center for Early Learning and the Center for Autism, which is our partner with Ontario RC. That race is July 29th, and it's a 5K, 10K, and a color fun run. Families, kids, it's a great day. It raises money for great causes. But if you feel like you couldn't be ready to do that right now, Get Ready to Run is your perfect chance. And the other thing is, there's so many events around this type of year all over. I have a friend that I watch on Facebook who is turning 51 this year, and she's doing 51 5Ks in honor of turning 51. So she's finding about one a week. They're out there everywhere.
Wow.
Yes. So, like, hats off to her. But I will definitely say to you, Get Ready to Run has been a fantastic program run by some trainers. Kathy Brown Ryko, who is the director of our Jim Dooley Center for Early Learning, our child care center on campus at Geneva General Hospital, has gotten this going. She's gotten so many people. It's an 8-week training program, and she's really gotten people who've never run before in really good condition. She's gotten people where they feel comfortable walking. And so I would just say, get out there. Beautiful night, great camaraderie. You'll meet people at your own pace. So give us a call or look online. Also, the Cubby Chase has its own website, and it's cubbychase5k10k.org.
All right. And of course, earlier this morning, you may not have heard, but we did a preview of the Celebrate Commemorate 5K coming up on May 27th. So
absolutely,
there's something else to get ready for. I always feel bad talking about all this health stuff. You're on twice a month, and one of the times you come on, it's following Chris Lavin from the Boys and Girls Clubs, who brings me a giant bag of Wegmans donuts. So we're sitting here talking about health and exercise, and I've got about 12,000 calories of donuts just a couple of feet from me.
I'm going to have to bring you apples. And myself as well, apparently.
Yeah, exactly. So let's introduce one returning guest and one first-time guest.
Yes, thrilled to have first-time as well as returning. This morning we're with Sarah Clayson, who is our nurse educator at Finger Lakes Health, and so very thrilled to have Sarah with us for the first time. And we also have Jill McCulloch, who is our nurse manager of 3 West, as well as our nurse manager for the acute rehab unit. And Jill has been with us before, and both are here with real expertise and background for us on something so important that we can never talk about enough and never warn people enough to be thinking about, which is stroke. It is Stroke Awareness Month. As we head in and really think about this, there's so many things. Anyone who listens, whether you're home from school unexpectedly ill today and you're little and you want to listen and be aware of things that you might notice for your mom or grandma, we've heard those stories. Whether you're someone yourself who's just been monitoring your own blood pressure and know the importance of monitoring blood pressure and diabetes and some other things that are risk factors for stroke, we just want to say that we are very, very proud of the stroke care we deliver at Geneva General Hospital, but we most importantly would love to prevent strokes. And so we'd like to talk a little bit about both. How do we prevent it? What are the warning signs? As well as, if you do need stroke care, why we're the best place that you can come to for that.
All right. Well, Sarah has strategically hidden behind you because she thinks she's not going to talk, but we will change that. And good morning, Sarah. Good morning, Jill.
Good morning.
Well, let's start off with the certification. Geneva General Hospital Joint Commission Certified Advanced Primary Stroke Center, New York State Department of Health Primary Stroke Center. What exactly does that mean?
Well, the certifications mean that we have met a list of criteria. So there's times that we have to meet and other I don't know exactly how to say it. There's just like a list of certain things that have to be done. So it would be when you arrive at the emergency room, we have a certain time frame where we would get you to the CT scanner and have that read and have the lab work done and get all of that process in place so that if you're able to get a drug to help get rid of blood clots, you would be able to get that in a timely manner. The other part of that is also meeting things throughout your stay and at discharge. So are you taking cholesterol medicine, blood pressure medicine? Are all the different risk factors being looked at so that we can prevent you from having a stroke the next time?
And our outcomes are looked at, of course, so and compared across the nation. So when you look at how do we perform and how do patients who've come to us for care perform long term and how do they both get back to sort of daily activities and as well as how quickly do we meet these thresholds that Jill was talking about.
So let's go back to the beginning now. There was recently a series of national public service announcements about stroke that I thought were excellent, where the friend of a stroke victim is saying, gee, something looks wrong, and the stroke victim is telling him, I'm having a stroke, except the words aren't coming out
right,
because he can't speak. And that's one of the difficult things about stroke is that someone going through one can't often communicate that they're having a problem, and that's where FAST comes in, and being aware of those signs. So tell us what those are.
Well, FAST is an acronym for some of the big symptoms that you would look for. It's F is for face, A is for arms, S is for speech, T is for time, just to show that time is really of the essence when you go through that. So you want to look for a facial droop or a change in symmetry to their face. You'd want to see if somebody's not able to move one arm or has lost a lot of strength in it. For their speech, it could be, like you said, they can't speak or they're saying words that just don't make sense at all. And then the time part is that we want you to get to the hospital as quickly as you can, because although there's different time frames for different things that we could do, really it's less than 3 hours in order to be able to get the clot-busting drugs. So as sooner you get there, they say like time is brain, because we want to make sure that we're saving as much brain as we can. And sometimes there's other symptoms too that might go along with it, dizziness or other parts, leg weakness that you might want to look for as well.
You mentioned that 3-hour window. There's a treatment called thrombolytic therapy, an injection that patients can get. Is that just a clot buster, pretty much?
That is. That's pretty much what it is. So if usually about 80%+ of strokes are a clot that's blocking blood flow to part of your brain, similar to a heart attack. So when we have you come to the hospital, the reason they do the CT scan is to make sure you don't have a bleed somewhere in your brain. If you don't have the bleed and you meet the other criteria, they can give you that medicine so it will go in and bust through the clot to restore the blood flow and hopefully get you back to your normal self a lot quicker.
Are there any red flags beforehand that someone might have one of these clots developing? I mean, headaches or anything like that, that might be an indicator that a stroke is a possibility in the future?
It depends on the person. And if people have probably heard of mini strokes or TIA, transient ischemic attacks, those are usually the warning signs that a bigger stroke is coming. So you might have where your arm didn't move right for a short time and then it was fine, or you had trouble finding words for just a little while and then you were back to normal. But when people see those symptoms, that's really when they should go to their doctor and have the testing done to find out, is a bigger something coming down the road that we could prevent.
All right, Sarah, go ahead.
And also just calling 911. I think people underestimate the option of calling 911. This isn't something where you try to get yourself somewhere. This isn't something where you want to drive. And honestly, the folks from, we have wonderful EMS partners in this community who do a fantastic job. And this is what they train for. And they're ready for this. So if you see these signs, or you see these signs in someone you know, the first and best thing you can do before you even begin to try to do more assessment, and the thing that helps that time window, is call 911 and get the process going.
And if it's not EMS, something serious, that's all right. That's what they're there for.
Right. Exactly. EMS is trained to take you to the right place.
Right.
So that's another thing with calling 911.
Okay, Sarah, we have always what we call our new person grilling. So we'll tell us a little bit about you and where you're from and how you wound up in a healthcare career.
I actually am from Wayland, New York, and I have my doctoral degree actually in healthcare. So I have many years of college experience, and I've worn many hats over the years from administration, but my love is education. So that's what brought me to Geneva as the nurse educator for the health system, and That's my passion.
So what does that job entail as a clinical nurse educator? Who do you educate and what about?
I get to interact and educate all of the nurses, the nursing assistants, the clerks throughout the health system. I also work with the physicians in the healthcare system to bring them conferences or other hands-on experiences. I work with the College of Nursing, so with their faculty as well. And it's really anything from hands-on in-class experiences to computer online education as well.
So you must do an awful lot of reading and just keeping up with all the latest developments and everything so you can spread those down the line.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, terrific and welcome. It's good to have you here.
Thank you.
Let's talk about, you mentioned those mini strokes. Is there a cumulative effect that can stroke damage be reversed, or does it tend to build up over time? I know one stroke very often leads to another.
It does. It's hard to, because it's based on the individual. Usually when you've seen something happen, though, something else is going to happen. There are people that have a total recovery, and recovery can take up to a couple of years from a stroke, so you don't know everything you're going to get back. But usually you're right, it's you have some damage and then you're trying to prevent the next damage from being worse rather than waiting for the next big bomb to drop.
And one of the things we found is we do such a good job caring for people, not only in the ED in terms of that time to door time to getting all the care they need, but also there's a real assessment being done at the medical level with our hospitalists and the whole team to determine what's the best and right course of action for that patient. Very often that patient at that point, some patients may indeed actually be sent for to a tertiary care center, but many, many patients will stay at Geneva General Hospital and really we have the capabilities to help care for them, to provide the right medical support, to get them through this period of time, keep their family closer so they're not traveling a distance, because in essence, there's really probably perhaps not going to be a significant change with a different kind of treatment. Rather, it'll be the treatment right there at Geneva General Hospital. We have the acute rehab unit for people who may then be looking for therapy and things to get strengthened or basically attend to some of the perhaps deficits that might be attributable to having recently had a stroke. But very often it's about that appropriate medical care. And we have an incredible team of hospitalists who are very, very experienced with this. We have fantastic emergency room nursing staff, physicians, et cetera, who obviously are right on time with bringing that thrombolytic therapy on board if the person is indeed a candidate. Not every person who has some kind of stroke is an appropriate candidate for that thrombolytic therapy. So by being a designated stroke center by both New York State and Joint Commission, that demonstrates that we've shown over time the ability to identify very, very appropriately who's the right candidate for what course of treatment. So I can certainly just say to you with confidence, I think it's one of the things we do best. And I'm grateful to work at a place that has committed so much time, both educationally to get our providers in that spot, as well as to have all the right resources for patients in our community.
We have a couple of minutes left, so let's talk about risk factors. Is it mostly lifestyle? Is there any hereditary factor involved in strokes?
It could be a whole combination of things. The things you can control would be smoking, your weight, and meaning your diet, how much exercise you get, like with the Get Ready for Run program, any things that you can control on your health, but there are things you can't control. Some cholesterol may be hereditary. Your blood pressure could be both part. You can control some and hereditary, but that's also something when you follow up with your physician that you can monitor and take medications to prevent some of those things
Like age, obviously, we can't stop that in our tracks, but these other modifiable risk factors
not
that Joe
yet.
Was talking about.
When we do, it'll be Finger Lakes Health.
It'll be the apples, right? As Joe was saying, everything from managing our weight, managing being on top of blood pressure. We have blood pressure clinics that we offer through the ARU. Right on our website, you can see when that is, but Diana Modera, as well as some other colleagues, offer these opportunities for people to have regular blood pressure clinics. They're out at the community lunch program, really helping educate the community about how important that is, and that is one thing that you can manage yourself. So a very important part of this. And stroke, truthfully, is a leading cause of disability in the U.S. I think people don't realize how serious an issue it is in terms of cause of both mortality, but also truly the leading cause of disability. So it is something that we all want to be attuned to, and being diabetic has a whole host of
risks as well with stroke, and as Jill has mentioned, smoking.
All right. Well, we appreciate y'all. I'm sorry I got to jump in because we're out of time for this visit. Thank you all for being here. Appreciate it,
thank
as
you,
always.
Ted.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming in. It's nice to see all of you, as always. 8:53 on the Finger Lakes Morning News.